All right, guys, I got a lucky man in front of you right here. I'm the lucky man, actually, and I'm here with my good friend Lee Goff, agency extraordinaire. This guy had an agency called Get You Wired, worked with companies like Damon John, Jay Abrahams, big boys in the industry. Now he is an agency coach teaching people the simple shortcut, and he's created this absolute amazing gem of the agency roadmap, which I've used personally, and it's helped my business scale and grow. And that's why I have him here to drop some nuggets of wisdom for us. And we're going to get deep into the questions. So Lee, thanks for spending some more time with me.
Man, we've already done this once. I enjoy it. I love it. I mean, I love our banter and the ability to get this knowledge out there. You know, my purpose is to help, make agency owners' lives easier, right? And so the more we can get it out there, the better, man. I'm ready. So let's rock and roll. So.
Yeah, definitely. Give a little background. So anybody who doesn't know you knows you're the truth, the legit person. By the way, I would never have anybody on here that has not built multi-7-figure agencies that can't just drop golden nuggets for us.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened there. So in 2003, I was executive for a company in Oklahoma City. It was not a technology company. It was actually a safety regulation company. I was in leadership out there. And the CEO had hired at the time it was called web marketing. Again, it was, back in the old days, I guess. And they basically turned out to be very unethical, attempted to extort money out of us, honestly. And so I'm like, fire them, give me the project. Well, since then, the way I communicate, people like the way I communicate with them about these complex technical issues. I can distill them down very effectively into small bite-sized chunks that make sense to them, right? So next thing you know, the business just starts taking off, and we're moving forward, and we get to, somewhere around the $500,000 mark after, 5 or 6 years. And then a couple years later, I wound up actually gutting the company from top to bottom in 2008 after we were in business for 5 years. Like literally got rid of everybody with the exception of two. When I hired them, they were interns. They might've been out of the intern status at that point. And the reason being is I wasn't happy doing what we're doing. So we dove headfirst into marketing. Prior to that, we were like an engineering chop shop, and that's not what I do. And so I had lost my passion. So I went back, I literally gutted the entire company at $500,000 with like 8 to 10 employees. And that's quite the audacious, it was quite the undertaking to say the least. Well, but it was one of the best decisions ever made. From that point forward, man, the agency just started blowing up. Again, multi-million dollars in revenue every year. I wound up getting it pretty much on autopilot to the point where I'd retired from it. It wasn't 100% retired, but I was basically kind of like in an investor role where I was working 2 to 4 hours a week, overseeing KPIs and attorneys and CPAs and leadership teams and things like that, right? And then I decided to pursue my lifelong passion of giving back. I'm a giver and I like to help people. And so that's what I'm doing now. I sold out of that agency and I took everything that I've learned from the babe room to the boardroom, right? And put it into my coaching programs. And that's where we're at. I'm now a year and a half into the agency coaching, new business, and it's been wonderful. We got a book out right here, Agency Success Roadmap. Okay. And this is what Rahul was talking about. And that is literally a simple guide to help you get your agency through the 7 figures, from startup to 7 figures and a little bit beyond, right? And there it is. And so I spent a year and a half dialing in, because what I did at Get You Wired worked great for me. I wasn't sure if it was going to work for everybody else. And so I went out and did a ton of research and developing. We developed over 75 tools, 12 courses, group coaching, one-on-one coaching. It is just badass. And it is amazing. And we're just super proud of it and super excited about it. So.
That's awesome. I'm enjoying it so far. So I'm on the ride with you. So I appreciate everything you've put in the group and everything as well. I want to dive into three topics. So these are the three: riches and niches, profits earned products, and then proposals, closing the deals. Let's start off with riches and niches and why it's important to you.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let me frame this real quick. Okay. The reason these three topics were picked up is because when I was putting this book together, okay, I thought about like if I went back, 15 years and I was going to build an agency from scratch, do it the right way this time instead of me figuring it out and guessing the whole time. the right way. And so that's what this is. The chapter layout in the book is that. Chapter one is niching, okay? Chapter two is productizations, and chapter three are proposals and templates and delivery systems. And I do that on purpose. So let's focus on the riches and the niches, and then we'll get to the other two. Riches and the niches, everybody's saying it because it's true, okay? So let me explain why that's so important, okay? Well, one, when you're a jack of all trades, every time you get a project, okay, that's in a different industry, okay, which is the majority of your projects, okay, you literally go back to the starting line, back to ground zero, and you have to start over. You have to do all the keyword research. You have to do all the copy, everything. You have to do everything. You don't have a tarball, like a backup of a website that you can unzip and customize. You know, you don't have an AdWords campaign that you've been working on and tweaking for a year that you can just upload the keywords and ads and negatives and go, right? You have to rebuild all this stuff from scratch. So it's unbelievably time consuming. One great example is doing a proposal when you're a jack of all trades, as opposed to being in a niche with products. Whenever you're doing proposals and a jack of all trades, again, you got to do all the research. You have to be able to talk the talk and walk the walk. These people aren't going to buy from you unless you can talk and walk the walk. So that's why you're spending 6, 8, 10 hours on a proposal. Well, let me break it to you. You know, that's not helping you close deals. It's causing you to work a lot more than you should, and it's not allowing you to charge the prices you need. So when you pick a specific direction, you pick a niche, okay, and you go in that direction, let's just say it's underwater basket weaving. I like to use that one because it's fictitious. It's, you know, it just kind of doesn't offend anybody nowadays anyway. So point being is that first time you do an AdWords campaign for an underwater basket weaver in L.A., you know, and you do it again in San Francisco, and you do it again in Denver, okay? Well, now you've done it 3 or 4 times. Man, you got that thing dialed in. I mean, like, you got it dialed in, man. You know, it's converting like a boss. You got the CPC cost down below. You know, now you can actually go make guarantees because you're confident in the deliverable, right? And so now you're building a product line. You're truly building a product line that's building momentum. So your products get better every time you deliver it. Your knowledge gets better every time you deliver it. Your relationships get stronger in that industry every time you go out and go to a conference or do a webinar or whatever it might be. So now you're actually investing in you to become a subject matter expert, a thought leader, an influencer in that niche. You can't become an influencer in something that if you don't ever focus on any damn thing, okay? Another good example, I get asked all the time, Lee, man, I don't know what lead magnets to do, man. And I'm like, okay, well, that's because you don't have any focus. You're right. Is how do you create a lead magnet for 50 different industries, for 50 different personality types, and for 50 different problems? You don't. I mean, like, good luck with that. But if you're in a specific industry, there are very specific pain points in industries that people feel. And this is what it is. You know, if you're a speaker, coaches, consultants, it's all about getting butts in seats. All about getting butts in seats, okay? If you're a craft brewery, okay, it's all about coasters, okay? You wouldn't know this unless you're in the niche. I know this because I'm coaching somebody that's niching out into it, okay? You know, coasters, the beer tap handles, and what's called an untapped API integration from the app on your phone into your website. All these things are things that really separate you from your competition, right? So your jack of all trades guys coming in there, and they have to charge for everything I just said. Well, you've got templates for all of that stuff. You can do it for a third of the cost and make twice the profit because you've got templates and you've got products to do it on. So they're the reason everybody says riches are in the niches. Now, the biggest pushback I get on this is like, oh, there's not enough opportunity if I narrow my creative genius to one industry. And I'm like, that is the absolute most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. That's not the case. Okay, let me explain something to everyone. You can get into a niche with 1,000 prospects, good ones, target audience. In other words, this is a very tiny little niche. If you capture 10% of it, 100 of them, and they're paying you $500 a month. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I mean, it's, you know, you don't have to go to 50 billion people to get rich. You have to satisfy, 10% of 1,000. In other words, it's, the numbers add up pretty much every single time in a niche. Don't think you've got to be able to offer it to everybody, because when you offer it to everybody, this is what happens. When somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? I do digital marketing. And they're like, oh, shit. Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me. Please don't ask me any questions. You know, they don't want to hear it. Now, at the same time, if somebody asks I do digital marketing for architects. I do digital marketing for this. Just by adding for architects, like, oh, that's cool. It's all of a sudden cool just by adding for insert niche. And it's crazy how the perception behind it is it's becoming reality, but it's very, very true. Pick a direction and go. And again, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so you're not going to have to get rid of your old clients, okay? You can still maintain them. They're going to pay the bills for a period of time. Until the niche overcomes that, you don't mess with that. And when the niche rises up to, and it will, I promise you, it will overcome that. And when it does, that's when you start to fire those pain in the ass clients and you get rid of them, right? So, and that's just how it works. So the riches are in the niches because you can build momentum. You can build out systems and processes. You can build out products that satisfy specific pain points. And you can put all of your lead generation efforts into a specific direction, meaning you have 4 to 6 events every year you go to. You got podcasts that you're focused on. You got certain publications, underwaterbasketweavingmagazine.com or whatever it might be. You know, you got, you know where to go get leads now. And the more time you focus in that direction, the better you get at it and the more relationships you get. So therefore you start to get more speaking gigs and things like that. So
definitely. And I especially liked when you mentioned you can make those guarantees because you've now proven yourself, and then you also have that risk reversal. So the confidence of saying, I guarantee 20 leads or 100 leads is better than the competition who may say, well, I have 10 companies in 10 different industries. And then they back in.
I mean, I can't give you any guarantees because I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. I mean, I know how to work Google AdWords, but I don't know what the hell I'm doing in your space. And that's really not very, you're not going to be instilling a whole lot of confidence in somebody when you say that. But when you say, oh yeah, no. Are you kidding me, man? And here's another part that gets me. Most people they perceive that the value of what they're delivering is around their time. Come on, man. I mean, like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you came to me and said, hey, Lee, for $1,000 a month, I'm going to give you 5 new coaching students. I don't care if it takes you 2 seconds. I don't care how long it takes you. If it takes you 20 hours, you lose money. Okay, if it takes you 5 minutes, you make a lot of money. That's your problem, not my problem. Don't care. I just want the 5 students. That's all I care about. And that's what your prospects are thinking too. If you think that they love your creative genius and all this stuff like that, no, they don't. Okay. Very rarely it does happen. That does happen. But if you're going to try to build a scalable agency that's not tethered to your personal skill set at every single turn of growing your business, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Definitely. And you can accelerate sales and trust and close deals much faster with that subject matter expertise and that strong promise. So, I mean, that's really, really actually insightful.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And then one more note on the riches and the niches. I mean, even your operational costs will be significantly down as you start to hire virtual assistants, in-house staff, interns, because they're not talking to a dentist, a realtor, a lawyer, an insurance agent.
Yeah. Well, here's what happens on that. Everybody's like, man, I wish I could find somebody that could come in, that was really good like me. You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, if they're really good like you, they start their own agency and compete against you. That's what we do. Okay. So here's the deal. When you bring somebody in, you hire a new hire and you say, hey, yeah, okay, go learn all of digital marketing. Stupid, man. And that's dumb. I mean, we're crackheads for this stuff. We spend countless hours for this stuff, and it probably took you 5 to 10 years to get your knowledge up to speed. They're not crackheads like us, and they're not going to be absorbed by like entrepreneurs, and you can't wait 5 years to get a return on investment. So now when you bring somebody in and say, hey, listen, we only serve whatever dentist or whatever it is, right? And here are the 3 products I need you to support. That is very easy for them to wrap their brain around. They go over there, they study the Hades out of those products. They know everything they can ever learn about those products. And then they can sell them and service and support them for $12 an hour. You can get highly skilled people to support products. Product support is totally different than consultative and like relationship type projects that you have to support. Make sense? Because Everything's fine. You know, look, if you buy a pen, this is the pen. You might be able to pick a different color ink and a different color shell, but it's a pen. You're going to buy a product. You're buying a product. Here's your product. So,
totally.
And where you can really lower labor costs is whenever you get to the point where you have like your base website package tarballed up, your AdWords tarballed up, and everything. Again, they don't care about how much time you're putting into it. They just want the results. So you can just go upload everything.
Definitely. So let's move to the next topic with profits are in the products. I know we just touched on it slightly, but
We were just touching on a part of that right there about how you optimize the service process. Yeah, that's a big, big part of it. So another big part of, I didn't mean to cut you off. Where you finished?
I enjoy you talking.
Profits are definitely in productization. Okay, there is zero doubt about it. And the reason being is this. There's so many reasons. It's ridiculous. I'll give you the top three or four right here, and we'll go through it. But at the top of the list is the fact that it's 100% standardized. With it being 100% standardized, you can focus on service framework optimization, meaning every time you deliver the product, you can get better at delivering the product, right? So you got a checklist that delivers product A. You deliver product A 5 times. You realize, line item 48 through 52 on the checklist suck. We need to add this, 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 and this, and this. Next time it won't be a problem. And you keep doing that. Next thing you know, after 10 deliverables, you got to dial it in, man. It's like clockwork. So the labor just went from, hypothetically 40 hours to build a website down to like 12 or 15. It's like game-changing stuff, right? Another thing is whenever you build them in what's called my Legos pricing model, is they're individual objects that can bolt on. So you get the value stack. It's the true definition of value-based pricing, but you also get to value stack the value-based pricing. And that's really important to understand. First off, it's value-based. So AdWords campaign setup fee, $2,000. It takes you 2 hours because it's all tarballed, it's all backed up, right? No big deal. And you can even get more than that probably if you can guarantee results. It's $5,000. They don't care. You can get results, okay? Whenever you're going down that path, and so you got the setup fee for $2,000, and now hit one campaign in Google AdWords includes this campaign, 2 ad groups, and 5 ads per ad group, hypothetical, right? That one's $350 a month to manage. And that's the individual object in Google. You can buy as many campaigns as you want. I want 50 campaigns. $15,000 in residual payments to you, but it's individual objects that they can bolt on. Now, the reason that's important is this, is because when you break it down into the individual objects, now each individual object has its own value proposition, its own tagline, its own pricing, and its own standardized service framework. Okay, so now Rahul can go out there and speak on stage and literally put together a combo product with any Legos he wants, and it doesn't matter. His service department will know exactly how to deliver it every single time.
I would love to build the Empire State Building of value stacks.
that's my point. And here's the great thing. And all of a sudden, okay, great. It's a $500 setup fee for the Google AdWords, $350 a month for one campaign. We define them really clearly. So they come in, I want 10 campaigns, $5,000 setup fee, $3,500 a month. But I tell you what, you got volume. So instead of $3,500 a month, I'll knock it down to $2,950 a month. Thank you very much. You have 48 hours to make a decision. If you don't, then it goes up to $3,450, and that's good for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It dramatically shifts the negotiation power into your favor around value-based pricing and value stacking. It's a big, big, big deal, okay? The other thing is lower labor cost, and this is a huge deal. Everybody talks about, I can't find good people. I can never find good people. There's nobody out there. That's not true. There are a lot of good people out there. You're not going to find good entrepreneurs to come in and want to work for you, though. That's what you're hoping to find, is you're hoping to find another entrepreneur like you to come in and do what you do. That's not going to happen. We don't do that. That's not what we do.
No. I wanted to ask you about the guarantee. So I'm a big fan of guarantees. It reverses the risk. It puts people at peace of mind. What do you do when you don't reach your guarantee? What is the offer? A make good?
When you don't reach your guarantee?
Yeah. So let's say I guarantee you 50 leads this month.
Yep.
And I fall short at, let's say, 30.
We're probably getting into the weeds on that one a little bit. So let me do the best I can on that. That really depends on the product, and because there's going to be different risks associated with each product, right? So in other words, if you guarantee you'll love your website, then it's easy to go back and fix that and make it right. But if you're guaranteeing 50 leads and you only get 20 and Google's algorithm changed and it costs you $5,000 to get the other 20, then you're screwed. Okay. So you got to be careful with guarantees. Big fan of them. I'm okay. Well, I think they're kind of going out of style a little bit. I think they're going to kind of overuse it a little bit, but they work. There's zero doubt that they work. Okay. So, and you got to go out of your way to do it, but I would strongly advise that you deliver that product at least 10 to 15 times with guaranteed success on that before you ever offer a guarantee, okay? Now, when you do get there, though, no doubt, it allows you, if you can go in there and say, I guarantee you my AdWords campaign will get you this many leads for $2,000 or whatever it is, okay? Literally the price you can charge doubles, I mean, instantly, I mean, because people pay a lot of money for predictable and reliable. I can predictably rely on this guy getting me 100 leads a month, no doubt about it. I can scale my business around that.
Right.
And if it's not predictable and reliable, in other words, you get 100 leads this month, you don't get any for the next 3 months, you get another 100 leads, you cannot scale around that.
Definitely.
Not as effectively. You could. It's going to be a pain in the ass, but it's not going to be as effective. So, again, you know, whenever you can offer a guarantee around a product, definitely do it, but be careful. Just be careful when you get into that. Get a coach on a lot of that stuff. Pricing can get very, very tricky. Value stack can get very, very tricky if you don't know what you're doing. So
definitely. No, I hear you on that. Now, the fun part, closing the deal, sealing that, getting that thrill, getting the money in your bank account and being able to help that other party scale their business. Let's tie into the proposal writing process.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, so this is a kind of a little bit of a pet peeve of mine, but and here's why it's a little bit of a pet peeve is because I had to go down this path. We spent years at my agency trying to figure out how not to have to spend 6 to 10 hours on every proposal. I mean, forever, dude. It took us forever to crack this code. And looking back on it, I feel like an idiot because it's actually a pretty simple damn solution. But I didn't crack it until probably 9 or 10 years in business. That's a long time in my mind, right? So, but here's how it works. Okay, so first off, when you get the products, doing proposals becomes 10 times easier. Hence why you need a niche. Hence why you need products. And hence why when you get those two things in place, you got all your products, all your value props. You can copy and paste and put them in there, okay? Now, if you're doing custom stuff, what you're going to find out is that you have to have a proposal template and you have to have a delivery system. And it sounds complex, but it's really not that complex. Your proposal template must be based upon what's called the psychology of the sale, not based upon features and not for any other reason. Honestly, there is no other reason that will trump the psychology of the sale. And the reason being is because there are very basic fundamental needs humans have to have before they make a decision on any purchase of any substance. Meaning, if it's a $25 pen, who cares? Okay, $2,500 a month, I care. And you got to go through a certain process. They got to be able to trust you. You know, there's things they got to do. The point being is that in my proposal template, you know, it's longer than most, okay, but it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable the results it's getting. $500,000 in closed residual contracts in less than 60 days from a 19-year-old guy in Austin, Texas, when his entire gross revenue, okay, the year before was $174,000. Almost quadrupled his business in 60 days because of the proposal template. And he timed himself on doing the damn proposals. He got it down to 2 minutes and 46 seconds, dude. 2 minutes and 46 seconds. And I was just like, dude, first and foremost, I couldn't even do that. I was like, I was impressed. I was like, that's impressive. You know? Mm-hmm. And so what it is what you do is you have all of your products over here in a sandbox in a swipe file kind of thing, right? And you got your proposal template, and you really just swipe and deploy. And it takes you 15, 20, 30 minutes to get it out the door. And it closes deals at a higher rate than your custom work. Here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. I want to kind of enlighten you on how the proposal process works. There's a big chunk of the people getting proposals from you, okay, that are simply getting them for competitive bids. Their process requires them to do it. You know, most companies of any size will require 3 proposals, 3 RFPs of some sorts to put in front of the procurement agency or the person making the decision, or they won't even look at it. Mm-hmm. But they have to get a couple of proposals, and they're never going to give them any credence because the one that they want is going to be the vendor they've already had in there for 2 years. They're going to go with that company anyway, but they have to legally, for company processes, do it, okay? Another one is, hey, you know what? My brother-in-law said he could do it, but I don't have any idea what to pay. You can get a couple of proposals, see what they charge, and then cut it in half and pay your brother-in-law to do that. So meaning the intent behind your prospects asking you for proposals not always integrity-based. And you never know it until it's too late, until you've already spent 6 to 8 hours on it. Period. So you can't do it on any of them. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Sometimes there's business development wells that requires custom. But that is not something 99% of the people who ever see this podcast will. That is a much higher level development type process. It typically takes weeks to put together something like that. But you're going after a figure, you know, you're going after something really big, you know what I'm saying? So and that's a completely different piece there. But in most cases, you know, having a proposal template that has what's called the psychology of the sale, okay, the basic questions and answers, facts, payment terms, trust value, proof that you can do what you're doing, you know, all these different things that are required. If you have the right template in place, okay, it takes less than 15 to 30 minutes to do it, and it'll close deals faster. And I want to put out one little caveat on this. If you're using an online proposal system, okay, and you have not personally printed it to PDF and printed it out and put it on your desk and read it, do it. Just send me on this, and please do it. It drives me insane when I hear this. Okay, first and foremost, I used to be against like proposal files. Now I'm okay with it because they've updated some of their formatting where you can actually format it very nicely in a print format now. And that's recent. That just happened here recently. It wasn't like that even, I don't know, you know, within the last year it's happened. Okay. So, my dog's coming in. And so what happens is this is, you know, is, you know, again, the custom proposals, man, it's just, you just can't do it. Okay. Long story short is that by having these proposal delivery systems in there and all the different, so what's called, again, the psychology of the sales and getting them into a print ready format. Okay. And let me explain what that means. Whether you like it or not, the overwhelming majority of your target audience will still print the damn thing out. And here's why. I don't blame them. First off, they're older. They don't feel like fucking with that stuff. They don't. I don't care what you like. Who cares? Nobody cares what you like except for you. Period. Huh? So give them what they want. And here's another big reason, okay? Everybody on all major decisions has what's called the silent advisor. Okay, meaning their wife, their partner, whoever it is that you don't even know is in part of the process, it's a critical part of the process, they're going to print this thing out and review it. And if it prints out like a freaking two-year-old did it, you're done. You're dead. It's over. You're done. It's over. I can't even read this shit. Get it out of here. If they can't do this on a proposal, I'm definitely not hiring them.
Mm-hmm.
Just humor me on this one. Print the damn thing out on your printer and see if it looks good. And if you're so progressive that you don't have a printer, then you are too progressive. I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? I mean, come on, man. I mean, like, I'm going to tell you right now, the world is still a, you know, the people who pay you money on average are going to be 40 years. That's the people who own. Okay? I'm just letting you know that's the way it is. Rahul, how many people do you negotiate with in a year's basis?
Oh, every single day.
Every single day. And if you're going to put a percentage, what, 60, 70, 80% of them are 40 plus? Because they've had long enough. They've been on long enough to build a company that can afford to hire. It's simple math. It's not that we're better or anything. It's just that we're older. That's it. Nothing special. Cater to them. Another 20 years from now, it will not apply. But right now, it applies.
Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely 100% right. I mean, what you're essentially saying is just test your process before you actually roll it out, and it takes a couple minutes.
Well, what I'm saying is don't fall in love with the digital process that you love so much that it hurts you, that hurts your ability to close deals. Mm-hmm. Meaning, don't get so involved in the proposal file or all these digital things that you just freaking love because you're a digital. You know, I love them too, by the way. I mean, we all do. I mean, but other people, they don't care. They do not care about that. All they care about is, can I print the damn thing out and my wife review it and give me the okay? That's all I care about. So, and again, you can do this in Proposify, but what I see more often than not is they're focused so much on the digital process. It's cool tinkering around with shit. They don't think about the client experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to me, I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, what? You know, I mean, you got to focus on the client experience and never, ever take your eye off that. You know, I mean, it's a big deal.
Right. And the reason we focused on just this simple matter of printing things so it's convenient and looks good for those silent decision makers, even the real decision makers, is because this is where the money transacts. So this is such an important topic that goes overlooked because this is the make or break, all that culmination of your niche, your productization comes to this one document. And it's important to like take care of that document so the friction is not in your court. It's like frictionless. And as you,
Yeah, and here's another thing, and everybody's always trying to, it's got to be a short proposal. It can never be more than a one or two page. I'm like, shut up, and let me explain why. I mean, first off, what you're basically, when you're doing a one or a two page like that, you're putting basically just an order form in front of them. That is not a proposal. That's an order form, okay? And at that point, the people that you're negotiating with, they have to sell the trust of the silent advisor. They have to get in there and explain to why they want you to trust them to give you the money. Make sense? They have to sell them. There's a sell, everything in life is sales, by the way. Okay, everything. So the guy or girl getting the proposal is going to have the proposal. That proposal is going to either help them or harm them when it comes to convincing the silent advisor to give you money.
Mm-hmm. No, so absolutely, 100%.
It's up to you to give it. If you give a one or two pager, you're going to give it to them and you're like, crap, man. I mean, I'm going to have to basically lie and lean to these people. They're going to know. We know when somebody's, you know what I mean? But now they've got this document. They can read through the document in 10 minutes, freshes their brains up on all the definitions and frequently asked questions and all that stuff. Then they give the document to their boss or their wife or whatever. They're up to speed. They're answering very confidently and intellectually. They know what's going on. And they say, man, this proposal is awesome. It educated me. It got me up to speed. Take a look. I can answer your question. We'll do it. And now they're like, oh, this is nice. This is professional. This is a professional organization who put this together. They thought this through, right? And it's crazy how many deals really do boil down to that kind of stuff, right? And you know, dude, we if you get into a situation where you're negotiating a lot of deals, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you right now, about half the deals close just simply because somebody called them more than the other person.
Absolutely, follow up is such a critical. Let's not touch the follow up.
No. The reason I say call them 7 to 9 times because your competition gave up on 3 or 4. I'm gonna tell you right now. And then you called them that 7th time 4 months later, and they're like, "Holy crap, Rahul, I'm going with you just because you kept calling."
Well, the funny thing is, like, in my call, I wake up around like 5:30 in the morning, and my East Coast people, they get. I don't call. If they don't answer, they're getting 2 more redials. The 3rd call in a row, the stalker call is getting the voicemail. And then they got an email saying, hey, left you a voicemail. Call me back. And so it's definitely, when it comes to sales, the money and the revenue and everything is in the follow-up, regardless of your 6-figure, a 4-figure, a 9-figure, whatever. We can all say that sales is in the follow-up, not in the one call close.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, and you're going to figure out that actually sales is actually in with brand positioning, marketing systems, and follow-up. Okay, and so meaning you got your ads, that's simply just emotional. That's all impulse, emotion type scenario. Okay, that's just to get them into your database, right? And then at that point, marketing is actually where the ads stop. They pick up on the educational. They're educating about products and who you are and the team and all these different things, right? Well, when they're going through that, if they see that, hey, you know what? We won Inc. 50 and Entrepreneur Magazines and all this. Well, that those positioning elements give you instant credibility, wrote a book or whatever it is. And now you're an authority on it. So between your marketing systems educating, your brand positioning elements giving you authority, okay, and your follow-up, you can typically close very big deals in 2 to 3 calls instead of 7 to 9, but it's an art form. That's bigger business stuff right there. So.
Definitely. So for any of you guys that are agency owners out there, how do they get a hold of you and give a brief on like what is in that agency roadmap and how they get it?
Sure. Okay. Well, you can get in touch with me. I have a Facebook group. Okay. So go to Facebook and type in Marketing Agency Success Roadmap. Okay. Group or just Agency Success or any combination of that. I'll be popping up 1 or 2. So, book, it's called AgencySuccessRoadmap.com. AgencySuccessRoadmap.com. It's your personal GPS to agency success. And it's exactly what it says it is. And it really is a guidebook, a step-by-step guidebook on how to build an agency in the logical time frame that you should do it. Okay. Well, pick a niche, get your products, proposals, and then got to do, prospect engagement and just keep going. So if you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to agencysuccessroadmap.com. It's $7 there. If you go to Amazon, it's $21.95. And at agencysuccessroadmap.com, you also get $140 worth of free gifts, proposal templates and all that. And basically the proposal template we were just talking about, there's a free one in there that you get at that. And then, of course, all of my courses and my programs are located at marketingagencycoach.com. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you for all the knowledge you just dropped. I mean, It's amazing. I'm sure this is going to help. It helps me, number one. So anybody who's going to watch this video and gets to the end, I personally look to Lee and I use Lee's group. I use Lee's information to grow sales and systems in my own business. So it's for any size, whether you're at the 4 to 7 figure, you can never have too many mentors, but you have to pick the right ones along the way.
Yeah. I got a new little saying here. Look, buy the steak, not the sizzle. Okay, let's reverse that trend, please. Okay, because if you're going to buy a coach, just don't buy the shiny object. If they're promising they're going to make you rich in 30 to 60 or 90 days, I'm going to tell you right now, it's full of shit. Okay, I mean, come on, man. If you're going to build a business, you can get major strides. You can make a major improvement in 60 to 90 days. But realistically, to build a successful agency that you can be proud of, that's going to pay you money for the rest of your life, it just takes time. It just takes time, right? So now you can speed that up with guys like me. For example, in my group coaching program, 75 tools is freaking beast mode. So it takes it from what would have taken you 10 years like it did me down to, you know, gosh, you can get all that stuff in place in months now. You know what I'm saying? Like really quick. So.
Yeah, definitely. And this is coming from an agency owner from the early 2000s. So, I mean, he's seen the transition from traditional to digital along the way. So that's the more impressive part is the longevity, because not too many businesses stick around for over a decade. And not only that, to commend you, you left your agency in a good position where they're still thriving today.
Oh yeah, they're rocking. They're rocking and rolling. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm obviously not involved in the I'm not involved in the leadership over there anymore. But they're rocking and rolling. You know, I mean, still winning awards and still growing and doing good.
So. Well, again, I appreciate all the time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I love it, man. Let's do it again. I mean, I'm all about it. Anything that I can do to get the message out there, because again, I just to vent a little bit, I feel like a lot of the people in the agency space fall victim to some of these so-called gurus and ninjas and all that, what I call bullshit, you know what I mean? And there are some good nuggets in there, but it is not what you're looking for. What you're looking for is a real-world coach with real-world tools who knows how to get real-world results, meaning really putting money in your account, okay? So there's a big difference between people leaning on a Ferrari that they rented for that day, you know, just so you know who they are, than a guy who actually lives in a, you know, $700,000 home on a, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, find somebody who's done what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Legitimately done what you want to do. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Lee.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rahul. And we're going to be doing it again pretty soon, hopefully. So.
100%. I'm all in.
Thanks, man.
Bye.